Turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're interested in verse 2. We'll read verse 1 for the context, and then we'll pick up verse 2. Keep your Bibles open today. Our sermon is topical, and we'll be in several different passages of the New Testament along this subject, growing as a Christian, growing as a Christian. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, watch it that ye may grow thereby. We're going to talk today about growing as a Christian. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to be able to see things in the words of God. Dealing with this subject of growing as a Christian that will help us to grow. All of us, Father, are in continual need of growing as your children. And we're asking you, please, to help us to do that tonight, today, through what we see, that our growth may be stronger, better, and more pleasing to you. We ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, when you were a kid, you knew you were growing because the pencil marks on the wall, or the pencil marks in the door frame, were getting higher and higher every year. That they said, "Well, let's see how tall you are this year." You knew you were growing because you could see yourself in the mirror. I mean, there was a time when I used to brush my teeth, right, and I had to get up on a stool just to reach the sink, and one day I'm looking back at myself. I can actually see myself in the mirror. You knew you were growing because your clothes from the prior year wouldn't fit. Now, some of you, you're supposed to stop. or you knew you were growing because a relative that hadn't seen you in a couple of years would see you and they'd say, "My, you have grown." And of course, you know, when you're all together and everybody's growing, it doesn't seem so apparent. But when they haven't seen you, I mean, even sometimes here, some of you guys, when the summer months come and these young men are 13, 14 years old, you look at them one day and you remember them here. You see them every week. And the next time you see them, it was like Ricky Sal the other day. I looked at him. I'm like, we're almost eye level to each other. And yesterday I was looking down. You weren't much bigger than Silas. How did that happen? But you know how that happens? Because we grow. We grow. And we know it because you can visibly see the change. But how do you know when you're growing as a Christian, since all of that growth is spiritual? What gauge? I mean, there's not a mark on the wall. There aren't clothes that don't fit anymore. There aren't relatives that say, "My, you've grown." You know, there's not a belt that you have to let out a notch on. So how do you know when you're growing as a Christian? You say, "Am I growing just because I've been saved longer? I mean, I'm now another year older in the Lord." That's not so. You've seen people that who profess to be saved 10, 15, 20, some of them 60 years that really haven't grown that much. And so it's not that you've just been saved longer. There are things that are evident. And so today we're going to talk about here, you know, ways that you can know that you are growing in the Lord. And of course, listen, as we examine these texts and talk about ways that you can know that you're growing as a Lord in the Lord, if you're not growing in these areas, then you know you're not growing there. And if you will start growing in these areas, you know you will grow. So it's not just a gauge to see how to know you're growing, but it's also a gauge to help you to grow as a Christian. You know you're growing as a Christian, first of all, when you are growing in the Word of God. Notice again what our text says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Now, from time to time in this sermon today, you're going to hear me quote Adrian Rogers. Adrian Rogers is a well-known Southern Baptist preacher that's died and gone on to be with the Lord, but he wrote two volumes that are called, actually these were probably written for him, they're called Adrianisms. And if you've ever listened to him preach, he just has these sayings and you latch on to them kind of like you latch on to the sayings of Bob Jones Sr. and you're like, whoa, that's good. So if you hear me quote him a half a dozen times today, it's because I was recently in his books, volume 1 and 2 of Adrianisms, and once you see them, they're like, well, that just fits too well not to repeat that, but I'll give credit where credit is due. Adrian Rogers said, the Word of God is to our spirit what our blood is to our bodies. Now, you just need to think about that a little while. You are not going to grow as a Christian apart from time in this book. It is impossible. In my own life, I have that testimony. But I've also seen it in the lives of other people who have come to talk with me, and I'll say to them, but have you been reading your Bible? No. All right? Listen. If you are not desiring the sincere milk of the Word of God, you are not going to grow. Period. End of story. Now, I'll tell you something. I mentioned this to you before. I'll mention it again. If you need something to help you to stay in that Bible and read, then use that help. If it helps you to have a Bible reading calendar, by all means, get a Bible reading calendar and read according to that calendar. If it helps you to have somebody else reading, like I have said to you before, Alexander Scorby, reading a recording of the Bible while you're reading the Bible, then by all means, invest in that and read along with somebody reading. If it helps you, do that. I remember when I was in high school, they said, we're going to do Shakespeare. And I picked up those plays and started reading Shakespeare. And I was like, man, I cannot make heads or tails out of any of this. And somebody said to me, well, I'll tell you what you do. Go to the library, and there are recordings of these plays from actors that were acting. I said, good. So back in those days, we had reel-to-reel recordings. And so I got all that rigged up, put the headphones on, opened up the book. And when I heard the actors playing the parts of what I'm reading, suddenly what I couldn't understand began to make sense to me. And so I know it's the same with the Bible. Get in the Bible. Listen, I've noticed this about Bible reading. Your desire increases, and your knowledge of the Word of God increases, and your skill in the Word of God increases as you spend time in this book. The other day, some Jehovah's Witnesses were in the neighborhood, and one of them had an iPad or some kind of a deal like that with every way that the Scriptures can be argued in order to support a Jehovah's Witness view. The men that I was talking to did not know their doctrine all that well or the Bible all that well, but they knew that iPad well and they knew where to go to get the arguments. And so we would talk and I would just quote something from Scripture in reply to that. And one of them asked me, he said, do you read the Bible? I said, every day. And he said, how many times you read it? I said, I don't know. I lost count after 50. And he went, oh. And the idea is, I didn't tell you that for any other reason than to say this. We could not have had that conversation if I was simply memorizing Baptist doctrine or listening to other preachers preach. You have to get in the Bible. You understand that? It is like putting water and fertilizer on plants. It's what makes you grow. Now notice what he says here in verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice. You know what? When you are a malicious person, you start reading the Bible, do you know what will happen? That malice will start going away. And you say, man, I'm growing. I'm not as mean to people as I used to be. Everybody around you will love you more. And putting away all guile. You know, it's so funny. People can't speak the truth much anymore. Everybody postures themselves like politicians. Somebody asks you a question. You're trying to think, well, I wonder what they're looking for. And you try to answer according to that. All that goes away and you can just tell the truth. If they don't like it, you don't even care. And all hypocrisies. Most of the time when you first get saved, you start coming to church and you just put on that you're as good as you look. You're not. but you don't want other people to know that. So you make yourself look to be better than you are. You know, after a while, you actually grow to a place where you don't have to fake it anymore. It's the real deal. and all envies. But you quit envying what other people have because you know, hey, God's given you something that's better than all that stuff. And all evil speakings. People have told me, man, when I got saved, my mouth was filthy. They get in the Bible, and the funny thing is, the mouth starts changing. Do you understand? These are just some examples of things that the Bible changes in you that you couldn't possibly change. It's like one man said, it's not how many times you go through the Bible, it's how many times the Bible goes through you. It'll change your life, and you cannot grow as a Christian if you're not in the Bible. And so if you say, well, I think I'm growing in the Lord, I come to church, and you're not in that Bible during the week, you are not growing. You're not growing. You're still having to step on the step stool to even see yourself in the mirror. But if you want to grow, get in the Bible. And he says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And if you come to the Lord and say, I'm hungry, Lord, I need to be fed, he'll feed you with that. You cannot grow apart from the Bible. Turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 4 and notice the second thing. Ephesians chapter 4 and notice the second thing. Beginning with verse 11, we'll read down to verse 16. It wasn't too long ago that I preached this passage of Scripture, but it'll do us good to read it again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16. I realize here you're talking about the body of Christ, which is a supernatural body. It's a real body. It is a visible body. It's just that it's up in heaven. And when you're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ because you've been saved, you're a member of that body. But you know, it is a body that's evident that you can see when you're joined with people in a church like we are today. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, watch it, and some pastors and teachers. That's what you have. Randy is a pastor and a teacher. Tony is a pastor and a teacher. I am a pastor and teacher. That's what God gave us to give to you. What for? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. That's for you. For the work of the ministry. That's for us. For the edifying of the body of Christ, that's not only for us, but for those to whom we minister outside of us. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, see, he wants us to grow up, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh, watch it, increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Notice in verse 15, growing up, and notice verse 16, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know that you are growing as a Christian when you are growing in the Word of God. You know that you are growing as a Christian when you are growing, listen, in the body of Christ. You know that you're growing as a Christian when you are growing in the body of Christ. You say, well, how am I going to do that? By doing what you're doing today. Well, you say, what am I doing today? You came to church. What for? Verse 11, preaching and teaching. So that you wouldn't be carried with every wind of doctrine. So that you would grow up into him, speaking the truth in love. You cannot grow right, properly, without what you're getting today. When I look back in my life, and I'm sure you could do the same thing if you've been saved any period of time and you've been faithful in church, when I look back in my life and consider the waypoints, when I consider the major corrections, when I consider the doctrinal foundations upon which my Christian life is established, I got them all right here under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. When we have guest preachers or when Randy and Tony are preaching and I sit and I listen like you're sitting, I hear things. When Pastor Logan was here and preached, I got something. When Sam Gipp was here and preached, I got something that was life-changing and has contributed to growth. And you want your pastor to grow. and your pastor wants you to grow. You grow by attending to preaching and teaching and learning doctrine, and then seeing God use you more as a joint to supply rather than a member of the body that has a necessity. When he says in verse 16 of the text you just read, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Listen, here's what happens. When you first get saved, of necessity, the place that you occupy in the church is a place of feeding. You are getting a big dose of nourishment. When people have come here and spent 3 to 6 months, at some point they will say, not as a compliment to us, but just as an observation, I have learned more Bible in the last 3 to 6 months of sitting here than I have in years. And that's not, we're not taking that as a compliment, we're taking that as the way that it should be. That should be the ordinary course. When you come, you ought to be getting a big dose. And what happens is, after you get a big supply, God makes you a joint in the body, and suddenly you are also one supplying. It's beautiful for me to watch you ministering to each other and ministering together to others outside of this church. You are ministering together for Christ in a body that is growing. May I tell you something? You cannot grow like this apart from active involvement in a local church. You can't. And let me say something. Because I got you all, I got the Sunday morning crowd here now. If I tell the Sunday night crowd, not going to do them much good, they're here anyway. If I tell the Wednesday night crowd, not going to do them much good here, they're already here. So I tell the Sunday morning crowd, listen, you are not actively involved in a local church by coming to church once in a while. Okay, that's the Wednesday night crowd, amen. Hear them all amening you? You are not actively involved in a local church ministry by just coming on Sunday morning. Visitors do that. You are actively involved in a local church when you are here under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God whenever the Word of God is being taught and preached. Now, let me tell you a little something. When we get together, I'm talking about when Tony's preparing or Randy's preparing or I'm preparing for preaching on Sunday morning, we spend a lot of time praying and getting the messenger ready for the message. But we are aware that in Sunday morning service, oftentimes there are lost people that you have invited that you want to hear the gospel. And so there is a lot of gospel preaching on Sunday morning. And you know, gospel preaching, I love to hear it. Anytime I hear the gospel preached, I'm like shouting amen. I love to tell the story and I love to hear it. The ones who know it best love to hear it most. I didn't make it rhyme like the song does, but like all the rest. But you don't grow a lot on the gospel message because you already know it. So what am I getting to? Do you understand that Sunday night is a little bit better service than Sunday morning? Because it's really directed to feeding Christians. And I learned a lesson. I told our Wednesday night crowd this past Wednesday, I learned a lesson several years ago from a 75-year-old pastor up in Austin. He says, when I preach on Sunday morning, he said, I give it to him. Sunday night, he said, I give him a little something extra. Because they've come back. He said, but Wednesday evening, he said, I give those folks something very special, extra special. That changed my attitude. You're missing out the best preaching. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. A lot of times people say, well, if you will give me a responsibility in the church, I will be faithful. It doesn't work like that. You become faithful and you'll get some responsibility as a joint to supply. That's the way it works. It's the way it's supposed to work. Now, you can grow apart from the church, but your growth is going to be unruly like an unpruned tree. You ever seen an unpruned tree? It's bigger than it was when it was an acorn, but it's funky. You get on the internet and you read people writing funky things about the Bible. Those are people that they're not in a local church. They're a church unto themselves. But if you get into a local church, somehow another God uses all this that happens to prune your tree, and He makes you pretty. Makes you pretty. You're learning Ephesians. Let me show you one other thing He'll do for you in Ephesians chapter 2. Along the same line, He said, are there many other points? We'll get you out of here by lunchtime. If the restaurant stays open till 2, you're good. No, I'm just kidding you. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 19. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners. I'm in the middle of a context, how we enter into what God promised to Abraham by getting saved. Therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together, what's the next word? Groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I'll make this quick, but I think you can get it. When you start growing and you're actively involved in a local church, you know what you get concerned about? People who are lost that aren't. And we are a building builded together when we get saved in the holy temple of God. And what happens is you start getting concerned for other people who aren't, and God gives you an opportunity in a variety of ways to tell lost people about Jesus Christ so that you can build upon that foundation to help the temple of God grow. Soon, and I don't know when, but soon we're going to resume Fishers of Men. And we're going to go back into a neighborhood and we're going to pass out Bibles. And you know what I hope God has done in your hearts since the last time we did this? I hope that those who were faithful to be here before will come back again. And I hope that some of who weren't with us before have now grown some where you will be with us as well. And those who already know how to do this well can train those who don't know how to do it so well how to do it. And those who know how to do it well can not only be interested in sowing the seed of the Word of God, but catching men as well. You know what that represents? Growth. Growth. Christian growth. How do you know when you're growing? Because you'll grow in the Word of God. You'll grow in the body of Christ. But that's not all. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You know you are growing as a Christian when you're growing in grace. You say, what is that? Well, it's really a couple of things. On the first and most obvious, growing in grace means you are becoming more and more reliant upon God's strength and less reliant upon your own. What is the glory of young men? Their strength, the Bible says. And just go to any gym in town and you'll see it. You'll see young men who are glorying in their strength and their muscles will get big, and you see old men who are glorying in their glory days. Because they ain't got it anymore. It's a bad maintenance program at best. David said, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. But over time, he knew what that was. God, you see, the grace of God is a supernatural strength, as you know, to strengthen you in an area of your weakness where you can do something in God's strength you couldn't do in your own strength. That's growing in grace. And you know, when you first get saved, you know nothing of the grace of God except that you were saved by the grace of God, something He gave you. But other than that, you don't really know anything about the grace of God. And so you have to grow in this grace. And as you are a joint that is supplying in a body, and as you are growing in the Word of God, you know what God is doing? He is infusing His supernatural power into your vessel to make you stronger for things that He wants you to do. Anybody in any capacity, you would not lay heavy burdens upon a small child. And God will not lay heavy burdens upon you when you're young in the Lord. But he's expecting over time that the things he does lay on you will strengthen you so he can put more on you. People have said, you've heard this, God will never put on you more than you can bear. You ever heard that? That's not true. That's not Bible. Let me tell you what is true if you want something like that. What is true is he will put on you more than you can bear. That's true. But he won't put on you more than he can bear. That's grace, see? And you don't know that until God dumps a little more on you. You're going like, God, this is too heavy for me. He goes, well, try to get grow in my grace and it won't be too heavy for you because it's not too heavy for me. And if you're not growing in grace, if the same things that got you down 2 years ago are the same things that get you down now, you're not growing in grace. You're still in junior high. In junior high football uniform, sitting on the varsity bench, and everybody's going, I don't know what he's doing here. Because you're not strong enough to play with the big boys. You know, if you faint in adversity, the Bible says your strength is small. God doesn't want your strength to remain small. He wants you to grow up and get tough. Listen, you know one of the beautiful things about young people being in church and old people being in church at the same time, of course there's nobody old here now, but the nice thing about that is young people have people that have been saved a while to look up to and go, you know something, if I run this race well, it turns out right. The things that are causing me to falter don't cause him to falter. Where I complain about something incidental, he's going through something big and rejoicing. How do you do that? You grow in grace. You grow in grace. Grace, Adrian Rogers said, grace is the desire and the ability to do the will of God. I know you have the desire to do the will of God, but you don't have the ability. So God, boom, dumps that grace in there, and now you're able. And he only gives you as much as you need for the piece that he wants you to do. And as he gives you more to do, he gives you more grace to do it. Listen, God is not nearly as interested what you can do for him in your own strength as he is in what he can do through you in his strength. That's grace. That's grace. Now what happens is that tempers you because you realize, hey, this is not my strength. I don't have the wherewithal of the strength to do this. And then you know what happens? Because of that grace in you, when you are with younger Christians who are messing up and making the same stupid mistakes you did 20 years ago when you were where they are, you know what you have? You have grace with them. Because you look at that and say, God had grace with me when I was there. I'm going to have grace with them and give them time to grow up. I'm not going to criticize them for not being where I am now. That's grace. And when you're growing in grace, you are growing as a Christian. But that's not all this text right here says. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, he says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, this is interesting because the way to grow as a Christian is not to get to know more about yourself. I'm going to say it again. The way to grow as a Christian is not to get to know more about yourself. When you listen to Christian radio today, when you go to the Christian bookstore today, it's all about you. And you'll hear somebody come up with a clever way of saying something, and then everybody else in Christian radio will be saying the same, they'll mimic the same thing that they already heard. It sounds like corporate speak. And you know what you're listening to? You're listening to a bunch of people who want to help you be better, you. And I'm going to tell you something. That is a futile effort. a fool hath, what is that? No desire, but that his heart may know itself. How does that thing go in Proverbs? Proverbs 18. Let me just read it for you. You don't have to turn there. It says it this way. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. That sounds like modern Christianity to me. That's not how you grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The way to grow is to get to know more about Him. And the way to get to know more about Him is to quit worrying so much about you and ask Him what's going on with Him. and become acquainted with him. You know, the truth of the matter is that the perspectives are all wrong in Christianity. I don't know how it was 100 years ago. I know how it is now. The perspectives are all wrong. Everybody wants to interpret God from their point of view. You need to stop that. You need to get up there with God, find out about him, and turn around and interpret everything from his point of view. Because I want to tell you something. Those two points of view are drastically different. What he sees about what's going on down here and what you see about what's going down here, they are not the same thing. They are usually 180 out. And so what you really want to do is you want to get to know the Lord. And may I tell you something? When you got saved, you knew about him. Yeah, I know about the Lord. I know about the Lord. He died for me. I know about the Lord. He died with my sins on his body. I know about the Lord. He was buried. I know about the Lord that 3 days later he rose from the dead. I know he did that because he loved me enough. He wanted to save me. I know about that. But, you know, have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, "Hey, do you know old John Smith?" Of course, there are a lot of those, right? But I'm talking about that specific one. Okay. Do you know about George Alexander? Do you know him? And you might say, "I've heard his name before. Yeah, I heard my dad speak about him." All right, well then you don't know old George. You just know about him. And when you first get saved, you don't know the Lord. You know about him. How do you get to know the Lord? You spend time with the Lord. You walk with the Lord. You take your mind off yourself and you start getting your mind on Christ and you say, "Look, I want to know you." You read in Proverbs chapter 2, which was the proverb for yesterday, and you go in there, you are searching as for hid treasures, you are seeking as for silver. Then you'll have the knowledge of God. You're spending time with the Lord in personal pursuit of him. Adrian Rogers said this: "If there was ever a time you love Jesus more than you do at this moment, you're backslidden." That's really good. That means you got to a point that backed off of that thing. It ought to grow stronger and stronger and stronger in your knowledge of the Lord. Listen, just say it this way and then move on. You ought to get to know him so well that you start thinking like he thinks and looking like he looks and talking like he talks. That's when you know whether you got to know him or not. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse 3. How do you know when you're growing as a Christian? Well, you're growing in the Word of God. And I mean, if you're not in it, you're not growing. You grow into the body of Christ, actively involved in the work of God in your local ministry. Growing in grace, becoming more and more reliant upon His strength and less upon yours. Growing in the knowledge of God. So you don't even have to go check the Bible to see what He would think. You're thinking like He does already. And growing, look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, growing in faith. "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly." Not a little bit. Your faith groweth exceedingly. Okay, back to point one. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You are not going to grow in faith apart from the Word of God. But you know what our problem is, Christian? I say our problem. We are calculators. We calculate the risk before we take the plunge. I know that about me. I know the weakness of my faith, and it's huge compared to what I think it ought to be. I say to you, if I were Peter and it came time for me to step out of the boat and walk on water with Jesus Christ, I'd have had a life preserver on. As long as my feet are on the water, I'm walking. But if I sink, buddy, I got it covered. And that's the way we live. You say, I'm walking by faith. Man, you got every kind of safeguard in place. You're like jumping on the trampoline and you got a net around you. You got pads all around the screens. You got a harness on you. You couldn't even get to the edge if you tried. Oh, I'm living by faith. Living by faith. Everything's padded and protected. Seat belt, baby carrier, you know, pacifier. I'm going in faith. You know what happens to us? We plan God right out of control of our lives. That's what we do. We plan God right out of the control of our lives. Let me tell you something. As you grow in faith, you realize God's in control. It doesn't make any difference what the circumstances look like. David said, though 10,000 fall at my side. It just didn't even bother him because he knew who he was trusting and he knew that he would make it. Adrian Rogers said it this way, it is my business to take care of God's business and it's God's business to take care of my business. But you can't let God take care of your business when you got your hands and fingerprints all over it. And every time he reaches down there to try to do something, you push his hand away and say, no, leave me alone. I got to take care of this business. When are you going to trust him? You trust him with your eternity. There's not a Christian in here today that wouldn't gladly stand up and say, I am trusting Jesus Christ with my soul. Why can't you let him control your life, your family, your house, your business, and every aspect of your life? You say, well, I haven't grown up to that point yet. Then start growing as a Christian. Turn over more and more of it to him and trust him more and more. I have people all the time that call or write or email or come by, all that stuff. You know, sometimes it's you. Sometimes I'm sitting on the other side of my desk talking to myself. Some, you know, who am I going to go to, right? Got to go to God. That was funny, you know. So y'all got confessionals? Yeah. So who, you go to the priest? Yeah. Who does he go to? He goes to the bishop. Who does he go to? He goes to the cardinal. Who does he go to? He goes to the pope. Well, who does the pope go to? He says, well, he goes to God. He said, well, the pope's a good Baptist just like I am. We just can't turn the thing over and trust him. Listen, when people come and all that stuff, you know what it is? Generally, I mean, there are sins and problems and all that, of course. You know what it is? It's really an inability to trust God with the circumstance. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I'm going to tell you something. If you trust God to direct your paths, I guarantee you, without reservation, you will wind up in a better place than if you do it and only cry to him when you get off into the ditch and stuck. Most people drive their own vehicle, direct my own path, bam, into the ditch, and they're like, help, God! And he reaches down there in his mercy and puts you back up on the path you were driving and lets you go right on about until you hit the next ditch, and you will. One of these days you're going to realize, you know what I need to do? I just need to get out of the driver's seat. Here's where you were, right? I'm going to grow in faith. This is how you grow in faith. Okay, I'm going to make this illustration, and then we'll go on to the next point. You're in the driver's seat and say, God bless my driving. That's where you start. And then you, bang, you go, okay, wait a minute. All right. You drive. No. Oh, slow down. Oh, no, you're going too fast. You're scaring me to death. Do you know where you're going? You're supposed to turn back there. Come on, you just need to, you know, you'll have that struggle a while. And then what you'll do is, you know, you'll get in the back seat. You know what you need to get when you've really grown in faith? The trunk. The trunk. He's got it. He doesn't need your help. He needs your cooperation. And then notice here in verse 3, We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all aboundeth, or toward each other aboundeth. You're growing in charity. I guarantee you, when you got saved, you knew that you were to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and all your mind. You knew that. You also knew that you were to love one another as I have loved you. You knew that. But you sat down in church and you're like, man, I do not like that guy at all. I mean, I love him in the Lord. I love that little in the Lord thing. That's always me. And I really hate him, but in the Lord, you know, since I have to love him, I love him. Yeah, I love that. When people say, I love you in the Lord, I'm like, you hate my guts. I know how to understand that. So what happens when you're growing in charity, this is the easy test. You start loving somebody you didn't like before. Enough said, amen. You know, that said it all right there, man. That is the deal. Listen, I understand when you first, listen, it's not there. I guarantee you, it's not there when you start out. But listen, if it is growing and you're starting to love those that you didn't love, it's getting there. When it plateaus, you've stopped growing. And finally, you know, Jesus Christ said, I want you not only to love them that love you, I want you to love your enemies. That's what he said. And you don't have the capacity to do that, but when your charity is abounding and he's doing that through you, the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. When you find that happen, you're like, man, I am growing up. It's a good thing. And that's how you know when you're growing. You know you're growing as a Christian when you grow in the Word of God. Can't grow apart from it. When you grow in the body of Christ, you actually become a functioning member. You grow in grace, more reliant upon the strength of God. You grow in the knowledge of the Lord. You not know about Him, you know Him. You grow in faith. It's okay to ride in the trunk. And you grow in charity. You start loving people that you just couldn't love before. My question to you is simply this. Are you growing? Are you growing? I don't answer out loud, but if you know. You don't have to have a personal examination. Are you growing? If not, it could be that you're not even a Christian yet. You know, if you're not a Christian, you're not going to grow as a Christian because you're not even born as a babe in Christ. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. If you're not saved, you couldn't possibly do that. Listen, you can't grow as an athlete until you join the team. Do you understand? Okay. So maybe that's the problem. But perhaps you are saved. I mean, 99% of you in here are. And maybe you're not growing. Then it could be that you're starving yourself and you're undernourished. You've been on a fast from the Word of God for the last couple of years. You heard some Word of God today, but I guarantee you this will not replace Bible reading. I got up very early this morning to work, getting things ready for this morning and so forth. This afternoon I'll be reading my Bible. Why? I need the nourishment. Perhaps that's why you're having trouble growing. Or it could be that you're not under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God enough. You come some, but you're not really getting that jolt. Maybe it's not that you're not connected enough to the body of believers that are around you. You still got too many connections with every kind of worldly thing going on. Or perhaps you're relying upon your own strength and you're trying to do the Christian life. May I tell you, there is not a Christian in this room that can live the Christian life. Jesus Christ is the only one that can live the Christian life, and He wants to live it through you. Or it could be that something is stunting your growth. They used to tell us, don't eat that. That'll stunt your growth. I wish they'd have said that about spinach when I was a kid. Don't eat spinach. It'll stunt your growth. Yes, ma'am. Could be that you got a lack of faith or sin going on in your life. Maybe you still can't trust God. Maybe it's just that you know about God still, but you don't know Him. Or maybe it's that God's love has been directed to you, but you've not directed your love to Him, and therefore His love can't be directed through you to others. Any of those things will stunt your growth. I don't know where you are, but you know what my desire is? It's the same desire that God has for us. that we grow as Christians. Let's pray. Father, I ask you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. I ask you please, Father, to help us to grow as Christians. I know as your children that you have wanted us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and in faith and abound in charity. To grow in this wonderful life that we have with you. I'm asking you please, Heavenly Father, help us today to take seriously what we've heard and respond accordingly for Jesus' sake. Amen.